one of my favorite people to talk to because he tells it straight. And it's always an honor to have this gentleman join us on the program. He is your senator from the great state of North Carolina. We're talking about Senator Richard Burr. He's on the phone with us right now. And Senator, thank you for your time. It's an honor. Welcome.
Bill, good afternoon. And I stress good afternoon because I could never seem to make the morning work.
Yeah, me either. So I'm really happy to be back in the afternoons. Hey, something unbelievable happened in the Senate. I thought the Democrats were so busy, you know, putting the budget together. But you actually had a bill that passed unanimously. How is this possible, Senator? Tell us about this.
Well, sometimes you can make a compelling argument, and it's great when your bill deals with terrorism.
Yeah, this is, and I may mispronounce it, is it the Haqqani Terrorist Designation Act?
Haqqani, yeah. And, Bill, what it basically says is, I'm not trying to change law. The law says that the Secretary of State needs to make a declaration. Is it a terrorist group or isn't it? And what this says is, if you determine it's not a terrorist group, then send Congress an explanation as to how you came to that conclusion. Because we carry out acts against the Haqqani network. They have carried out two major operations in Kabul. It is one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous, terrorist organizations in the world. Yet we don't list them as a terrorist group. Therefore, we don't go after cutting off their finances. We don't prosecute them like we do other terrorist groups as aggressively. And I think it's time to call a spade a spade. And you know, in this particular case, it's a terrorist group. We need to call it that, and we need to treat it just like every other terrorist group.
No, I couldn't agree more. And
I'll be curious to see if the president signs it.
Well, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if you had a gut feeling whether or not he would sign it or not.
Well, it made sense to all the Democrats, all the Republicans. We chart this every week in the Intelligence Committee, what they're up to. They're killing our kids. I can't think that the president wouldn't sign it.
Well, I hope you're right about that, but there are political implications to that as well, as I'm sure you're quite aware of, so we'll see how the president goes on that. But I must ask you, too, you had a couple of Republican colleagues, Colburn and I think it was Lindsey Graham, were talking about raising taxes to get out of this financial hole we're in, and I think this debt is a big deal. I think a lot of people, even though they're unemployed, it's still a very big deal. Would you agree that we're at a point where we need to raise taxes?
We're at the cliff. We're at a financial cliff, fiscal cliff, call it what we want to. And I think that what I hadn't heard Lindsey's comments, but what Tom's comments were, was that it will take some additional revenue. Now, Bill, we can get, I think when we say additional revenue, even when Erskine Bowles said it, everybody automatically assumes tax increases. Listen, the first thing we need to do is reform entitlements. Second thing we need to do is comprehensive tax reform, corporate and individual, drive the rates down, broaden the participation. Third thing we need to do is look for new revenue. And my suggestion would be that every program the federal government puts out should be income tested. I don't care whether it's Medicare, Social Security. If your income's above a certain amount, then you should have to pick up a little more than the people who are low income. And I believe through income testing some of the entitlements, I believe through closing the tax loopholes, we can increase revenue sufficiently enough, matched with controlling the growth of government, that we can get on a glide path to fiscal sanity. To believe that we can do it just by growing the economy, I think we have gotten too far out of the box. $15 trillion in debt. The interest payment today, if we were paying the same thing that Italy's paying, would be suffocating.
Wow. I know it's not good. It's the news is just simply not good, and it's eventually circumstances are going to dictate something to us. None of this is going to really be addressed until there's a change in the White House, though. That's my feeling. Would you agree or not?
I would agree with you, because I think the president has staked out the political lines, and they're all dealing with his own reelection, and for that reason, he's decided to make this an election on class warfare. The truth is, Bill, the middle class hurts more today than the top-end income earners. Why? Because those are the ones that create the jobs. And I think if you look at every poll that has been taken, every survey, those businesses who are capable of creating jobs aren't devoting the capital to that job creation because they don't know what their employees are going to cost them, health care, regulation, taxes. These are all components of what a business owner has to know for him to make capital decisions.
I have a minute left, and this might be an unfair question, but border and ICE agents, the president of the union came out. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was last week or early this week. I forget. It must have been last week. And they said, listen, the administration's has issued a directive that if we catch illegals, all they have to do is claim they're dreamers. We have to take their word for it and let them go. How do you feel about this new policy?
You know, my understanding is that Congress is the institution that creates policies, not the White House. And we've got to get this town back in sync with the executive branch and the congressional branch and the judicial branches playing their respective roles. Until we do that, the fact is that we're going to have a blurred line between them. That was what our founders were concerned with, and that's why they were explicit in the Constitution. You can't have three branches of government all wanting to set policy. It can only happen here in Congress.
Senator Richard Burr, as always, thank you, my friend. I appreciate your time, and if we ever get you back to town from Washington, you can spend some time with us. We'd love to do that.
I'll see if I can sneak in there.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Senator Richard Burr.